Now, this year marks the centenary of the opening of the Bauhaus, the most famous art school in modern history. The German school's brief 14-year existence mirrored that of the Weimar Republic from 1919 to 1933. It was born of a renewed liberal and artistic spirit in Germany following the country's defeat in World War I. In this piece, writer and broadcaster Jonathan Creasy reports from Berlin on the history and the influence of the Bauhaus.
The German school of art and design known as the Bauhaus, literally building house or school of building, was founded in revolutionary times when utopian ideas had both appeal and the force of necessity.
My name is Anne-Marie Jäger. I'm the director of the Bauhaus Archive in Berlin. The Bauhaus really wanted to change something, not only in the lines of education, but also in creating something that they called the new man or the new human being. They wanted to create a new kind of artist.
The Bauhaus was founded in 1919 by architect Walter Gropius, who envisioned a unity between arts, crafts, and industry that would not only train a new generation of modern artists, but also benefit the lives of ordinary people.
Well, I still remember when I came out of the First World War, I thought everything would snap back as it has been before, until one day, all of a sudden, I became aware that I would have to take part in something completely new, which would change the conditions I had been living in before.
You're hearing the voice of Walter Gropius from a collection of oral histories, Bauhaus Reviewed, available from LTM Recordings.
Walter Gropius always was very interested in a new kind of education for artists.
And I was aware, after what I had done already as an architect, that in order to really penetrate, that couldn't be done by one person alone. You have to build up a whole school which follows certain principles out of which it may develop. And that gave me the idea for organizing the Bauhaus.
In building his school, Gropius invited some of the world's most important artists, and the school's faculty and students would ultimately shape much of 20th century visual culture. But it is as a school of ideas that the Bauhaus remains most vital today, almost a century after its closing.
The real new thing that Gropius introduced is a preliminary course, and there the students actually would have to learn to forget everything that they had learned before.
This preliminary or basics course became the core of Bauhaus education. It's an approach that still influences art and design education today, as it's rooted in fundamental ways of seeing and perceiving the world. Two of the key figures at the Bauhaus came together in the basics course, and they later became living examples of Bauhaus ideas in North America and around the world. Of course, we're talking about the legendary artistic couple Annie and Josef Albers.
Annie Fleischmann, or Anneliese Fleischmann, came from a very wealthy Berlin family and was a gifted artist in the textile classes. Both Josef and Annie had this very long period in time of education before they actually became real artists, thanks to the Bauhaus.
Despite the liberal utopian leanings of the Bauhaus, the reason Annie Albers took up textile design while her partner Josef ran the basics course while painting and making glass sculptures was that roles for women, even in the Bauhaus, were circumscribed.
In 1919, when the first German democracy was established, the right to vote for women was also introduced. And Gropius, in the first Bauhaus Manifesto of 1919, proclaimed that women and men would be handled equally. But if you really look how women were treated, you do have to say that Gropius himself and all the other teachers lived in a, let's say, a kind of world which was still rooted in the 19th century and which was a man's world.
From the beginning, the Bauhaus was plagued by the extreme political volatility in Germany between the wars.
And every time the school was shut down because a new and stronger coalition of the right, and already starting in Weimar, already the National Socialists in this coalition, the first thing they would do when they came to power would to close the school. So this happened in Weimar, it happened in Dessau, and then at the very end in 1933 also in Berlin. And that was the end then.
The Nazis brought an end to the Bauhaus, along with so much else in German society, but a group of Bauhaus artists, including the Albers, emigrated to countries around the world, and they brought Bauhaus ideas with them. There is no doubt that the design products of the Bauhaus have influenced a century of visual culture around the world. You see its influence in furniture, architecture, and crafts of all kinds. But, as Dr. Yegi points out, there is more we can take from the Bauhaus than just the items its artists produced.
What I believe is much more important, something like eternal questions you ask yourself, how do we want to live today? How can we set the human being in the middle of our interest when we build or when we design? And of course, nowadays we have completely different answers to this. So I don't think you see the Bauhaus as much. Maybe you feel it, or you see that there are ongoing questions that have to be posed and have to be answered in every generation, and in a different way in every generation.
Right, and that was Jonathan Creasy reporting from Berlin on the story of the German art school, the Bauhaus. And if you want to find out more about the Bauhaus and read some reflections on its significance in this centenary year, you can go to bauhaus100.com.